Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right. Yeah, the sky might be falling outside, but we can still talk some NFL here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia and shine a light bright on the Buffalo Bills. What could be potentially coming down the pike? We bring in one of our regulars, one of our favorites in the sports bar from the Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com. Matt Parrino joining us in the sports bar. Matt, how are you holding up, buddy?
I'm good. I've been sick for the last couple of days. You have to deal with my raspy voice. Probably sound a little different than usual. But,
oh, no.
There's a lot to talk about today. So I gotta, you know, get my shoulder pads on, my face mask on, get in the game. A lot of things happening today, and probably more coming later today. So
you don't even sound like you. You are a gamer for doing this. I people are going to be wondering: are you showing the signs of symptoms here right now, Matt? Are you all right?
I think I've had it for about a week, and I have not had a fever once, and I've not had shortness of breath. So I don't think so. But I'm also at this point a little bit nervous to go get tested. I don't know. I don't want to really leave the house, so we'll see. I think I'm all right. I'm in good spirits. I feel good. It's just my voice is weird.
All right, Matt. Well, we appreciate you being a gamer and joining us here in the sports bar to kind of recap everything that's been going on here during the legal tampering period and plenty of rumors out there specifically surrounding the Buffalo Bills. Can we start with some of the rumors that we heard earlier today that the Bills were indeed a team interested in the services of cornerback Chris Harris? What do we know about that?
It's interesting. I heard about this probably about 2 months ago, and by hear about it, I just heard it might be a good fit. Robert Mays from The Ringer was doing his podcast. Chris Harris would be a fit. And at the time, I was thinking, I don't know about that because I thought Taron Johnson did a pretty good job. And it's funny, the last couple weeks, I've been going back to watch a little bit of the tape from last year. And Taron Johnson, I don't think, held up as good as I remember in real time. So I think that corner or that slot corner job could be something that they want to upgrade. I know they like Saran Neal when they go to the big nickel package. But Chris Harris is interesting because, as a few people noted on social media today when that report came out, he actually has some flexibility. He could go to the outside in a zone defense and maybe even be that number two cornerback. And maybe their vision is to move Josh Norman inside of the slot. There's a lot of options, but I think what they need to do is they need to develop or they need to build out the depth at cornerback. Because you saw last year when Levi Wallace went down in week 17, the next week, it was Kevin Johnson and Tre'Davious White. And either of them got hurt. You're looking at Saran Neal and Taron Johnson. One of them having to go outside. So I think that's what this is about. And there's some money to play with at $11 million per season for Chris Harris at around 30 years old. That's a steep price tag. But if you really think that that's going to change the dynamic of your defense and your secondary, I think you do it. But also, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it. They lost Shaq Lawson to the Miami Dolphins. And these pass rushers are starting to go off the market here. So if they're worried about not having the kind of pass rush they did even this last year, you really need to bolster things in the secondary. And so I think that that's where maybe this comes into play. I still think an interior defensive lineman could be coming later down the pike. I know they're interested in Houston's DJ Reader, who played really well against them in the playoff game. But a lot of different options. You're going to hear a lot of different names over the next couple of days. Be interesting to see what actually happened.
Yeah, we're joined by Matt Parrino, who is a gamer here at Syracuse Post Standard, as we are talking Buffalo Bills and everything NFL here in the sports bar. So you brought up Shaq Lawson. He goes to Miami. John Worrell, others reporting the deal worth up to $21 million in guaranteed dollars, 36 overall. Were the Bills ever in on this, do you think, Matt? Did they just let him go? And am I left to wonder, wait, we're going to spend this money. Why not go spend it on somebody who can actually be a game changer at that position? Where I think Shaq Lawson's a nice player. I don't think he fits into that category, Matt.
I maintained from the beginning of this offseason that as we're broaching $10 million, I think that that's when the Bills are probably out in that scenario. And I think that, you know, Brandon Bean basically set the table for this. They said, listen, they went out, Phillips and Shaq Lawson went out and had a great year in 2019 and earned the right to test them, their value on the free agent market. And Shaq went out and found himself that he's a lot more valuable than a lot of people thought. I mean, I put out a story from reacting to Tom Pelissero's report from NFL Network earlier this week when he said that Shaq Lawson could get about $12 million on the open market, and he was almost right on the money. I think that that's too much money, though, for Shaq Lawson because, you know, I think you only want to really give those kind of dollars on the free agent market for a guy that's going to come in here and you could count on for 10-plus sacks a season. And Shaq Lawson, even as he progresses and trends upward, is never going to be that guy. So I think that, you know, there's some options in the draft. There's still a couple options I put out. If you head over to the site, New York Upstate, Syracuse.com, I put out last night my updated top 50 Bills free agent targets. There's some nice names there on the second and third level, specifically the third level where you look at the guys that maybe played at about 40 to 50% of the snap last year with their team. Carl Nassib from Tampa Bay is a guy that really jumps out at you. And those kind of guys I think you could bring in here, and Trent Murphy's on the last year of his deal. And then this year and next year, potentially with some comp picks coming, you could really start to try to look for some value at edge rusher. And I still think edge rusher's in play at 22. It'll be interesting to see. You mentioned the trades during the break. DeForest Buckner going over to the Colts and the Niners getting the 13th pick. That's really interesting to me because I think that could be a target area where the Bills would potentially look to trade up, whether it be for an edge rusher or Caleb on Chase and out of LSU or maybe one of these top wide receivers. I know from things that I heard in Indianapolis, they're very – very high on CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. They spend extra time with him, Jerry Jeudy, Ruggs in Indianapolis, and they're doing their due diligence. So there's some possibilities. I think that the biggest moves or maybe the splashiest move might come at the draft.
Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us to talk some Buffalo Bills in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. Matt, man, I felt like maybe I was hallucinating this morning when I came into work, but did I see that there was talk about potentially a Jordan Howard move to Buffalo? Was there anything to that? What did you learn?
I'm not hearing any rumblings on it in any back channels. That report kind of stands on its own, and it was from a Sports Illustrated, their Maven sites, their beat writer there. So I don't know. I mean, somebody questioned the validity of the report. I mean, I'm not going to question the guy. He put it out there. He probably heard something. But I think it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
If that's the way that they want to go, almost kind of a younger version of Frank Gore. I mean, Jordan Howard had 2 1,000-yard seasons in 16 and 17. He's a guy that, you know, if he's right, and that shoulder's okay, he's a real asset alongside Devin Singletary. So it'll be interesting. I still think that they're going to probably attack that position in the draft as well. They'll probably double up in free agency in the draft. I don't know how high they'll go when you're talking about where these guys are ranked. I could see a guy like Carlos Hyde maybe being in play from Houston. He's kind of a nice fit. But I personally would like a home run hitter. You know, a Chris Thompson if you're going to hit free agency or some of these faster guys in the draft, there's some options involved.
What about let's go back to the Hopkins deal today, and if you're just getting in your car and you hadn't heard, Houston sending DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona for a second-round pick and David Johnson. To me, David Johnson, that's almost a throwaway. Matt, the Bills would have given up a first-round pick, number 22, right, for Hopkins? I mean, what is your reaction to that trade down in Houston?
I'm kind of torn a little bit on it because, yes, when you first think about it and you see the unbelievable, like, crazy trade that is for Arizona to just give up the second rounder and David Johnson, who they were looking to unload anyway, for arguably the best receiver in the league. But you start thinking about it a little bit more. And on the other side of that deal, and it's the same thing that goes for Yannick Ngakoue in Jacksonville, you're going to have to pony up big dollars. And big dollars are coming for Tre'Davious White and Deion Dawkins. We're talking about Tre'Davious White setting the market at cornerback and Deion Dawkins being a top five, maybe top 10 left tackle in the NFL. That's big-time money. We're talking about 15-ish for Deion and 20 for Tre'Davious White. So to turn around at a position like wide receiver when it's so stocked in the draft to make that kind of deal. I mean, there's even some buzz right now about Stephon Diggs out of Minnesota, and he posted today that he's stoking the flames a little bit. Posted that that there's some real possibilities to a trade. So, you know, I think you want to get a number one wide receiver for Josh Allen. I tweeted it. I think John Brown's good. I think you need a number one to go along with him. I just don't know if you want to be in the business right now with the where this cap is to pay somebody $20 million a year at wide receiver.
Hey, Matt, do you know and have any idea how close the Bills were to Christian Kirksey? We find out that he is going to eventually sign with Green Bay and get reunited with Mike Pettine, but we also knew that Kirksey had some ties here in Buffalo and took the visit late last week here in Orchard Park. How close were the Bills to getting that linebacker?
You know, I'm sure there was interest on both sides, and I know that there was interest on Kirksey's side for sure from stuff that I heard, but, you know, when you look at that deal in 2 years, and I know it's only $4 million guaranteed dollars, it's a position where there's just not enough playing time for a guy that got used to being the guy in Cleveland. For the first 4 years, he was playing close to 100% of the snaps. He dealt with injuries the last 2 years, but I think he was looking for a spot to land where he could be a little bit more of a featured player, a guy that could be relied upon. He's still a young guy, still in his late 20s. I think he still thinks he's got a lot of runway left on his career, and I just don't think the Bills could offer him the sort of role that he was looking for. So I think there was interest, but I think once it got out of that range, that one-year range, and he was looking for a multi-year deal, I think that's when it kind of things probably soured.
3 years, $15 million reportedly for Quentin Spain. Is that it looks like a great deal for the Bills there, Matt. So your thoughts on that deal? And now are we talking about the right tackle position as much? Because I think last time we had you on, we were kind of debating, should the Buffalo Bills move Cody Ford inside? But now you seemingly are with Feliciano and Spain, you're set as you were last year at those positions.
I think from center to left tackle is set. I think that's 100%. You're looking at going into 2020 and beyond, Deion Dawkins, Quentin Spain, and Mitch Morris as your hogs up front. From there, anything could happen. And I think that John Feliciano really went out and established himself as a starter last year, and I think he'll go into year two unless they go out and maybe get a Brian Bulaga, who's been rumored from Green Bay, to come in and take the right tackle spot, which would move Cody Ford over to right guard. I think Feliciano goes into the year as a starter, but I think it's going to be they want a competition there everywhere. I mean, I say that those three are set. I still think that they're going to want to, they have this environment that they've created where they want everybody to kind of feel like they have to earn it. And so from that perspective, I think that, Cody Ford, he can play right tackle, he can play right guard. I think it's going to go into camp depending on the bodies that they bring in. And who knows, if one of these four tackles in the draft, there's four of them that are kind of expected to go maybe top 15, if one of those guys falls into the 20s and they're there at 22 and the Bills take them, that's going to change the entire conversation.
Matt, with all of these moves that we're talking about, the signing of Spain, letting Shaq Lawson walk in free agency, seeing Kirksey sign for probably more money than they're willing to pay in Green Bay. I mean, fans don't usually get excited for fiscal responsibility. It's not something we put on signs on game days, but the Buffalo Bills are kind of showing a little bit of fiscal responsibility here, at least so far this offseason. Would it be shocking to see them break the bank with all of this cap space that they're dealing with, to see them break the bank on a bigger name pass rusher or a bigger name wide receiver that might still be out there?
It wouldn't be shocking at all. And I still, I'll provide some hope for fans that are hoping that happens. If it doesn't happen in free agency, don't forget that Brandon Bean has never been afraid to let loose on a trade at any time of the year. And so you could be looking at another Antonio Brown situation. If maybe
Stephon Diggs doesn't materialize right now, maybe that's something that they approach if they think that that's something that can help their team. Maybe Minnesota gets in a situation closer to the year where it's really bad. He's vocal on social media. He wants to get out, and the price comes down, and Brandon Bean can swoop in and make a deal there. I just think that they're not scared about going into 2020 with the foundation that they've built. I think there's a lot of players that they think are going to elevate their game from 19 to 20. When you're talking about Tremaine Edmonds going into year three, Ed Oliver going into year two, Tre'Davious White coming off an all-pro year, that's all three levels of your defense set. You believe in your quarterback. You believe in the pieces that you've started to build around him. And you have a draft where no matter if it's the first, second, or third round, you're going to probably find an impact wide receiver in one of those rounds. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, but if it doesn't happen right now in March and April and May even, I wouldn't rule it out for some time before the season or in the season.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, battling the cold here. Just a couple more. I got to ask you the Brady question. Did Tom Brady overestimate his market here? Because some of these destinations apparently drying up here today.
It's interesting. I've maintained throughout this whole process that I still thought that he'd go back to New England. Just because, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to ride it out all these years and then to all of a sudden wake up and almost like a midlife crisis. So I guess maybe that is pretty common. So maybe I should have expected this a little bit more. But, you know, I think that, you know, for a lot of teams, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. When I heard the San Francisco rumor, I was like, what? Like, you just committed to Jimmy G and you're going to bring him in for 1 year. What if it doesn't click? What if it doesn't work right away? So I still think that there are some teams out there. I mean, I saw a report a couple hours ago that the Chargers are still in play and the Bucks. I think no matter what, though, if there's interest still with the Patriots, that's kind of like his fallback option anyway. And so, you know, they're going to bring him back. They've been pretty upfront about that from the beginning of this process. So I think he's kind of playing with house money, and he knows maybe if the market isn't as robust as he hoped, he'll still have New England to fall back on, which I think is a good thing for Bills fans, because I thought under Tom Brady, that offense looked pretty beatable in 2019.
So let's just play this out, Matt. What if he doesn't feel like he's getting the value that he could have gotten from a team like Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay reportedly making him an offer, and he's mulling it over. If New England says, you know what, you know, let's just say it's, you know, Tampa's offer is $20 million per for 2 years, and New England comes in far less than that because we know how much they love system and value. Does Brady do the unthinkable here and say, you know what, not worth it. Now's the time. I'm going to hang it up. We were speculating about that earlier. What do you think the likelihood of something like that happening is?
I can't see that happening. Like, I just think the guy loves playing football too much. And I think that he's kind of put – I don't think that going out the way that he did last year is going to leave the kind of taste in his mouth that he's willing to kind of sit with it for the next 30, 40, 50 years, however long it is. So I think he's coming back. I think he's going to try to come back in the best situation possible for him. I think that the Patriots locking up Joe Tooney, if that's indeed what they really intend to do and not, you know, tag him and trade him and maybe make some other additions on their offensive line. They got their center coming back this year, so that could help too. They need to add a position player, but I think kind of follow the social media interactions with Tom Brady, who's all of a sudden really active on there. And everything that he or that I noticed that he or Antonio Brown posts, they're engaging with each other. I think they built a relationship earlier this year when AB was in New England. And if he's able to come back next year, wherever Brady lands, I have a feeling that AB is going to follow. And so if it ends up being New England and you could add him back into the mix, all of a sudden that offense looks a lot different with probably the rest of the pieces they're going to be able to add. So now I'm going to say that the most hated man in Buffalo sports history will be back for at least one more year.
I'm fine with that, because don't you want to write the story that if the Buffalo Bills are ever going to do what their fans want them to do, you got to get by the big villain? I mean, look at the Red Sox and the Yankees. I mean, the Red Sox won the World Series, but if they did in the ALCS against the Twins, let's say, it would have been nice, but it didn't have that same sort of value, man. You want to get over finally if you're Buffalo.
100%. And I thought that's why, you know, I go back to that New England game. Week 16, it had that feel to it. Like, this is the changing of the guard. This is the game where you come out and you knock Tom Brady, you put some pressure on him, and and take this thing into week 17, and then it just they just kind of fell flat. And surprising because it was a defense that really, in the end, you go back and watch that game, I thought the offense made at least enough plays to make it interesting. But, you know, I think you want Brady back. I think there's some options out there. Like, I kind of think Jameis Winston would be a little bit dangerous. And just in the sense that if, you know, Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick could kind of figure out a way to make him a little bit more economical. I mean, the guy has a, you know, his right arm's a weapon. And, you know, he's a good quarterback when he's good. So I just think that there's other options out there, Teddy Bridgewater, and even some other options if they were to maybe trade up and go after maybe a Jordan Love, a wild card like that in the draft, that I think could be maybe even a little bit better than Brady in 2020.
The NFL providing us with a much-needed distraction today, and Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com along with us for the ride here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Before we let you go, Matt, let our audience know what you're working on over at the site.
Yeah, Ryan Talbot and I are firing on all cylinders from our quarantined houses in Olean and Amherst, New York. So we'll have you covered for everything free agency here, man. We're going as hard as we can. Every little piece of news that gets out there, we'll have it up on the site and follow us on social media. And yeah, we'll have you covered. It's fun. I've seen some people complaining about the NFL going on with free agency this week, and I don't get that, man. Like this. This is a time that I think that, like, people are just dying for the distraction. I mean, it's kind of a scary time and, you know, a time where, you know, when you're staying home from work and, you know, maybe you got the kids at home, you might like a little bit of a distraction. So, no, I mean, it's been fun to provide that for the people that have been kind of looking for it. So we'll do that as much as we can over the next couple of days and next couple weeks and months.
Yeah, Matt, we'll power through this. We'll get on the other side. We always appreciate you stopping by the Sports Bar. Be well.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com. And Gino, we got an update on a report from the AHL.
Yes, I see this. Yeah, there's conflicting reports from the NHL network, okay? The first one came from Brian Lawton, who said he was told that the AHL will be announcing plans to cancel the season. But then Patrick Williams, who writes for NHL.com, it says, I am told any reports the American Hockey League has been canceled are not true. Again, I do not expect the AHL season to be canceled at this time. All right, so a little bit of hope there for Amherst fans that maybe we'll have some summer hockey at the Blue Cross Arena.
We've got NFL appetizers on the way next and so many stories to get to from around the league as the legal tampering period got underway, negotiations underway, deals, trades, all of it. We'll get to it with NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, I'm reading this joke right now. So, you know, President Trump, Danger, has recommended against, you know, gatherings of 10 or more people. I guess we got to feel sorry for Philip Rivers. He can't be with his children. Trying to make you laugh, folks. Gallows humor. Last day of the Sports Bar until we get to the other side. Ryan Tannehill gets his money. Huge trade in Houston involving DeAndre Hopkins, Dak Prescott. What's the latest with him? News from Tampa, Minnesota, Atlanta, Christian Kirksey. He's not going to Buffalo. We'll tell you where. And the latest on the NFL draft. We got a lot to get through.
It's all coming up next. NFL appetizers in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.